absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Happy New Year! Welcome to the first Absolutely Intercultural show of 2015. My name is Anne Fox in Denmark. This show is a little different, as most of it is given over to a discussion I had with a group of students from the University of Dubuque in Iowa on the topic of stereotypes. Their teacher, Franklin Yarty, contacted us and we arranged to meet via Skype. We had just run a 2-week series of links about stereotypes on our Facebook page, so many of the issues were fresh in my mind, and it was great to have all those different perspectives. Don't forget that you can find us at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, and we also have a Facebook page where we post links to the show and other interesting intercultural links. But we start by going absolutely global with the Living Your Ideal Global Life Summit, which ran for the first time last January and is about to happen again. I will let Sabrina Ziegler, one of the main organisers, tell us what we can expect this year. Don't forget that it is free to participate and you can sign up at globallifesummit.com. The dates are from the 26th to the 30th of January. Let's hear what's in store from Sabrina.
So we've been working all year and been planning the Living Your Ideal Global Life Summit for 2015. And that summit's going to be taking place January 26th to 30th.
Can you take us through the structure? Because you seem to have very deliberately organized this.
From the first summit that we did, we realized that it would be really helpful to have a kind of structure for us, but also intentionally in looking for speakers that would fit these topics. And the structure really came about with topics that people really resonated with and that they wanted to learn more about. So we're going to be kicking off the summit on January 26th with a day full of creating your global vision. We're going to be having 3 speakers per day, and we have some 3 amazing speakers who are all going to be looking and talking about creating your global vision. Then for day 2 of the summit, we really wanted to look at what is your global identity. There are so many areas around identity that play a role in your global life. So we really wanted to have some of these speakers highlighted. And I'm going to be one of these speakers this year. So I'm also going to be talking and not just interviewing this year. Mm-hmm. And then for day 3, one key important role is always your career. What are you going to be doing to sustain yourself financially when you're living your global life? So we're really looking at how can you expand your global career? And we have 2 individuals, Leslie Foreman, who's worked in Chile and China throughout her global career. And she's really giving some really practical and insightful tips on different ways how you can have a global career. Sandy Sadhu is one of our speakers. She's really going to get down to the really practical nitty-gritty of what technology can do for you in having that global career that you want, and what are some of the practical tools and tips that you can follow. Then for day 4 of the Living Your Ideal Global Life Summit, we're going to be looking at unpacking your global relationships. Relationships are so important when having and living a global life. One of our speakers, it's a couple, Betsy and Warren Talbot, they travel around the world together, and they're the authors of Married with Luggage, mm-hmm. And so we've welcomed them to the summit, and they're really going to be talking about living your ideal global life together in a partnership, and how that is different than maybe having your ideal global life just on your own. We will be revisiting the topic of re-entry again, which is brought back by popular demand. And we're going to be focusing really on re-entry and that relationship aspect. So how does re-entry affect and your relationships and how do relationships continue with people who you have at home, like your family and friends, once you start living that global life?
If we're lucky, we may be bringing you a few highlights from the summit in a future show. But for now, let's go absolutely stereotypical and eavesdrop on a discussion I had with Franklin Yarty's class on the topic of stereotypes. Just a bit of harmless fun, or can stereotypical thinking really affect the course of people's lives? I started by asking if anybody in the class had ever been stereotyped.
Well, I have cerebral palsy, and I was actually put in a special classroom for people that are slow. But if anybody knows me, I am not slow at all. I'm actually quite opposite.
So you ended up in a school based on other people's stereotypical views of what you were like?
Yeah, because I had cerebral palsy.
Well, for me, I work in a restaurant setting, and we have talked about this several times in class, but there's a lot of stereotypes that are, acknowledged in the restaurant business. So, I mean, just as an example, like, people think, you know, because people are elder or older age, that they don't know how to tip well, or they don't understand the percentages right, so there's not a reason to give them good service because you're only going to get a dollar or two, or, you know, that African-Americans don't tip at all. So, you know, just there's a lot of that that goes on in the restaurant business. And we've talked about there's other service in here, too. And personally, I don't acknowledge any of the stereotypes. I mean, there's always an underlying in your mind where, you know, you acknowledge what people have said, but I try my best not to fulfill that and just figure out myself, and, you know, not treat anyone differently for whatever reasons they, you know, may differ from people. So,
do any of you accept that there is a grain of truth in the stereotypes and that's why they arise, or is this completely untrue?
I personally think that, like, every stereotype has to come from somewhere, so I think that I do believe that stereotypes have some grain of truth, but obviously they're not going to apply to every person in that, like, I guess, grouping of people. So, I mean, it doesn't just pop up out of nowhere, a stereotype. It had to come from some sort of either, like, a historical background or, you know, things like that, maybe even just pop culture things, too.
I think that the media also plays into it. Mm-hmm. They, like you were saying, that some may come from a grain of truth, but that grain of truth turns into a beach eventually when the media gets a hold of it.
So the media treatment of various groups of people actually reinforces the stereotype. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Can you give me an example of where you think this has happened?
Can anybody help me out with that?
They used to have this old TV show on HBO. I believe it was called The Corner. And it was pretty much a TV show about a group of people living in the ghetto, a group of black people and Hispanics. And it was basically about them surviving, trying to sell drugs and trying not to get killed. And it was like, it was so stereotypical, it was kind of funny. It was like kind of comical, except it was supposed to be kind of a serious type of movie. Made it seem like people in those areas were only like prostituting, were only like selling drugs, killing people, robbing for what they needed. I mean, it was an interesting show, I suppose, to people who were like really pained by that stuff, but it was extremely stereotypical.
How much does it matter that people stereotype you? I mean, it's annoying, it's irritating, but is it more than that?
I think it depends on the person, really.
Mm.
For me, I don't really care. Because at the end of the day, every person ends up being 6 foot under. They're in the ground, they're dead. So it doesn't really matter what anybody thinks when it comes down to it.
I'm from Spain, so obviously I have an accent. And I've people make fun of it for the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 years. As far as I can remember, studying English, I've been making fun of, which I don't really care. I have learned through my years that you're gonna stereotype, everybody does sometime in their life, but like, you have to start accepting the fact that people are different, that people are individuals, even though like they might fit in a group, everybody's different in a way.
And the interesting thing is that it does have psychological effects. For example, if you remind people before they do something nerve-wracking about the stereotype that other people hold about them, they tend to perform worse. So that is a psychological effect which has been proven. The example that I heard was about if you remind women that they're not supposed to be good at maths, and then you give them a maths test, they do worse than a group of women who haven't been reminded. So in that sense, the effect of stereotypes can be quite concrete, that you go in with a disadvantage simply by being reminded of a stereotype. Yeah, there's somebody there with their hand up.
Do you think that stereotypes continue to exist because the people who are stereotyped acknowledge it, and kind of, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, kind of like what you said, like if you say, you know, that person's going to do bad because they're generalized to do bad in math, then she does.
Yeah, absolutely. And it must have an effect. And if you're fed, if you go back to the issue of the media, if you are fed in the media continuously, I think it's the drip, 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 which has an effect, that it's continually being reinforced, then you sort of start to believe it yourself, I think. Yeah, why do we use stereotypes? I think it's a neurological thing as well, because the brain is always looking for shortcuts, and to use a stereotype instead of getting to know somebody is a way of relieving the brain of having to do the work of finding out what the person in front of you is actually like. It's much simpler just to apply a stereotype.
I think I would completely agree with that. I know there's times I've talked about in class before about how everybody stereotypes kind of unconsciously. You don't really mean to. But I think it's, like you said, it's just neurological, where you really can't help it. Your brain tries to find a shortcut, so you don't have to worry about going to figure something out. And I think we all do that, and it sucks because, well, I guess it sucks in a way, just because stereotypes will live on, the negative stereotypes will live on through that.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. And I think that this points to the way forward for overcoming stereotypes, because it shows, it's just like exercise, really. We have to make a conscious decision to overcome them. It's not going to happen by itself. From what I've been finding out about stereotyping, that to me, that's the inevitable conclusion. And have you come up with any strategies for overcoming stereotypes?
I just always give everybody a chance before I even think of anything. Think of a stereotype, I just kind of clear my brain of what I should be or what I want to think, and just take an open approach to everything. I try to do that every day, but it doesn't happen.
Does that take some effort on your behalf?
Yeah. I mean, your brain wants to think or tell you something, but you have to reinforce the fact that, hey, don't stereotype. So, yeah, it does take some sort of effort.
For me, it doesn't. It doesn't for me, because I treat people, everybody, the same.
I had a question, too. With, in your opinion, what would you say is the difference between racism and stereotyping?
Oh, wow, that's a really good question. Maybe racism is a subset of stereotyping. I don't know. Would you agree with that, or do you think it's different?
Well, in the definition I gave, I said, like, as far as the difference, I thought was racism would be more out of hatred, as compared to stereotyping would just be out of ignorance, just like not knowing, not educating yourself about, you know, certain races and cultures and such. But yeah, that's just I was just curious to know about that, though.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and I have a feeling that racism is more than just about hatred. I think the out-and-out racists are easy to spot, but there is a lot of casual racism, if I can put it like that. There's a lot of institutionalized racism, which doesn't arise out of hatred, I don't think. It just arises out of old habits of mind. So I'm not sure that I would say that racism is completely due to hatred, because then that's quite easy to condemn the people who do it, whereas there's a lot of casual racism. I don't know. Do you disagree with that?
Well, are you saying as far as like conscious racism, or because I know you said institutionalized, to where it's like you're kind of almost trained into it, but I don't know. I think it's just that where that differentiation would just be out of, you know, doing it consciously and, you know, whether it's subconsciously, then, I mean, it'd be a lot easier to swallow.
Yeah, if I give you an example, if somebody crosses the road at night because they see a black man, is that hatred or is that stereotyping? I would say it was casual racism and knee-jerk reaction. I'm not sure that it's hatred. I don't know. What do you think?
I would kind of agree with the idea of institutionalized racism. I brought that up one other time. And just the fact that our history is what really plays on the way we think. Our family kind of brought us up in a way. Like, for instance, what you just said, there's somebody that, an African-American on the other side of the road, on your side of the road, you're going to cross the road. If there's a white person on my side of the road, I probably wouldn't cross. But if they had tattoos all over, I probably would cross. It's just the difference in person, I think, and being brought up in a community that doesn't quite view other people or view the way that other people look or act the same. It's just different. It's kind of institutionalized just from the way you grow up, I think.
Yeah, you brought up a really important issue there, because you're talking about community, and if you're brought up in a certain way, it's really, really tough to have an opinion that is not accepted in your community, because then that means you risk social isolation, the way you're brought up. And if you, in the end, believe that you've been brought up to believe stereotypes and to be racist, then that could be quite isolating for you if you then try and do something about it.
I don't think so as much anymore. I think if you go back, like for my parents' generation, definitely, I think that people had a real hard time coming to the realization that, you know, maybe it's not right to be thinking the way your parents were. But now more people are being educated on the fact that people are the same, regardless. You just got to give everybody a chance. I think our generation's starting to make a push, and I think generations to come will, and hopefully someday it's going to end, but I don't, like you said, I don't think it ever fully will, because there's still going to be one way or another stereotypes and racism and all that.
One of the conclusions that we came to in our two-week stereotype session on the Facebook page was that the training that you need is to try and develop empathy. Can you actually develop the empathy muscle?
Personally, I think you can, yeah. If you're a right-thinking person, you should be able to put yourself into somebody else's shoes, not necessarily give them leeway and an opinion, but at least put yourself in their shoes and think, how would I react in that situation? I don't think it has anything to do with can we. I think it's more of a question of should we.
I agree with Cody, but only to like a certain extent. We're not exactly, if there's like a situation where you put yourself in their shoes, but just overall, like, what has this person gone through that I've also experienced? And just ignoring what they look like, how they act, what job they have, what social class, and more thinking them as like a person who goes through things just like you go through things, and seeing them as more like equal, I think, is what would probably be best, because everyone is human, everyone experiences happy times, sad times, traumatic times, and it's thinking of what has this person gone through that I've also like gone through. And that's where empathy comes in.
What can you do in order to promote empathy in the people who you're going to be working with, maybe the people you're going to be in charge of, and so on? Is there anything concrete you can think of that you'll be able to do, or do you think it's not going to be your role?
always keeping that or reminding the fact that to some extent you guys are still on the same level as far as being human, or whether you all make mistakes, you all can laugh, just there's certain still common traits that you still have that you still keep reminding others that, like, okay, we're, even though we might look or somewhat seem different, we're still pretty much the same when you look at it.
Sorry, I think what he has to say is a very good point. I think that remembering that people are all, like, you're not going to be better than anyone as a whole. Like, you might be better at other things than other people, but, you know, well, they're still going to be better at different things than you are. So I think definitely remembering that, you know, you're still a person and they have something that, they know how to do something that you can't do. Remembering that there's going to be a point where you're going to need to ask that person for help as opposed to the other way around.
When it comes to gender roles as well, just really remembering that everyone is all equal. I know that we've talked about gender roles in this class and, you know, the stay-at-home dad or the go-to-work mom and things like that, but just kind of remembering that no matter what, you know, just like I said, everyone is human and we all make mistakes, and just because someone maybe comes from a different background than you, that they're still just as capable of doing what you do.
As far as concrete ideas that you asked for, I'm a freelance journalist right now. I'm going to be going into journalism as a full-time job once I graduate in May. I think a big thing I could do as far as empathy is recognize the voice that I use when I do report stories, and how I relate to people when I am interviewing them, seeing how they interact with one another, and adjusting the way I act around them according to that, to be more sensitive of the way they live and the ideas that they hold, and you know, the people and the demographic that's also going to be reading the stories that I write. It all is interconnected with, you know, the way I present the story.
How would you recommend avoiding stereotypes, or maybe looking past them? Because, I mean, you being in the intercultural field, you know the best case scenario, and you probably have a better idea of how to control it than we do. How to handle them on a day-to-day basis when we've all experienced them?
Okay, I'm not sure I succeed all the time. And sometimes it's fun, and I have to say that I was quite happy to include some comedians in my collection of clips, because comedians have a lot of fun with stereotypes. But on a day-to-day basis, especially on a professional basis, I guess the thing that's been most helpful has been a coaching attitude to my dealings with people. And specifically something called appreciative coaching, because that is all about really almost obliterating yourself and concentrating on the person in front of you. And if you're concentrating on the person in front of you and asking them questions and digging deeper into why and how and so on, then that helps you to see them as an individual and also to appreciate their specific context, because everybody's context is different. So I would say, and it's complete fluke and coincidence, it's not something that I consciously learned about and decided to do. It's just something that I have fallen into, as well as the intercultural field. And I now do a lot of coaching. I don't mean coaching in the sporting sense. I mean coaching in the sense of finding out what people's motivations are and helping them to set goals. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. And I can't say I'm an expert at it yet. But really, to stop chiming in with, oh, yes, I know what you mean because that happened to me. So it's not about me. It's about them. And to stop that sort of thing. So that is what I would recommend.
Going along with that, the question you asked us earlier about when we graduate to go into the workplace, just keeping a positive attitude in every situation, I think, is one of the main things. And if somebody in the workplace says something that is either stereotypical or racist or whatever it is, just making sure you acknowledge that and make sure you bring it up front so they know about it. And everybody else in the organization can see it too. So that way, I mean, awareness of it, I think, is the biggest way to promote it, I think. So.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that. It's tough, and I'm not saying that I'm an expert at it. Really, I'm not. But yeah, that's the way to go. Definitely, I would agree.
All right, so we have about, I think, 46 seconds left. So at this point, it's been, for me, standing back, there's been a very enlightening conversation to listen to. Thank you for helping us delve a little bit deeper into the whole notion of stereotypes. So, and thank you for your time. Why don't you give Professor Plummer...
Thank you very much. Thanks for the invite, and it's been great to meet you.
Thanks to Nicholas Dolson, Austin Healy, Sydney Templey, Cody J. Shipp, Rika Thibodeau, Guillermo Garcia, Chris Ganson, Adrian Collier, Brittany Chenalia, and Becca Jacobs, and all the other members of the class. Thanks to Franklin Yarty, who started the whole thing off and who helped out with a great deal of technical support. So could it be your group next time? Just contact us through our Facebook page or at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. We're always open to suggestion. So don't forget the Living Your Ideal Global Life Summit at globallifesummit.com in the last week of January, and watch out for the next show, which will be coming to you from Germany with Dr. Lauren Borgmann on February the 6th. Stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.